Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis.
Ladies and gentlemen, even though I have in my notes, don't say ladies and gentlemen. I always say it still. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We're so excited to have you guys here. Tonight's going to be an amazing night. I really have been praying and just believing for God to move in your life. I do believe there's people that are living the lifestyle we're going to be talking about, how Taylor came out of, that God's going to call you out tonight. So I want you guys to have ears to hear what the Lord's going to say to you tonight, because I do believe the Lord's going to call some of you out of just evil lifestyles. He's going to save, he's going to heal, he's going to deliver. We don't want to get on here and just share testimony. We're believing that the Holy Spirit is going to have his way in your life tonight. So once you get in here, type something in the chat. Let us know where you're watching from. Type so much that it freezes my app here. We really appreciate you guys being in the chat. We appreciate you guys engaging. I have the chat open in front of me. We're on episode 179. That's actually crazy. 179 of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. It's been great, guys. Every week we've been trying to bring on new people. I've been wanting to have Taylor on for a while. This might shock some of you, but I actually pray on who I'm going to have on. I pray like, Lord, who should I have on? And I pray. And I felt like the Lord in prayer told me, ask Taylor. And I'm like, wow, that's just kind of random timing. I was going to ask her a few months ago, and it all worked out the way the Lord wants it to work. So we know tonight is a divine appointment for some of you. I'm here with my new friend. I always say good friend, but now good friend, but new friend, Taylor. Taylor, how's it going? You doing good?
I haven't been live in six months.
So guys, the nerves are there, but we're thankful that the Lord's going to carry us through this. We're thankful that you guys are here. So I found out about Taylor, for those of you asking. I think it was, you could correct me, at the end of 2020 when you did a testimony video about like how you're turning your life over to Christ, or you did a testimony video on your main channel. Was that 2020?
And I had been following you for like 6 months at that point, and I was so excited when you commented on my video. I screenshot it and sent it to my friend. I was like, oh my goodness, Isaiah just commented on my video. That's so crazy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw, well, thank you to the YouTube algorithm, but I saw your testimony video, and I love, one of the things I love watching on YouTube is testimonies. So I was watching a testimony of you sharing how like you're laying your life down, you're going all in, you're not going to be lukewarm, you're not going to be, and I was like, man, this is so powerful, because I believe, Taylor, you are part of a prophecy of God saving people on social media. You have all these big influencers, like you were, millions and millions of followers, for the enemy, right? For the devil, for serving his kingdom. And then the Lord is saving so many people like you. I had Gideon on, I don't know what it was, like 6 months ago, a year ago. And same thing happened with him. Same thing happened with Angela. A bunch of these creators that are using their platforms for darkness, the Lord is saving them. And then not just saving them, but lighting them on fire. They're radical. They're doing Bible studies. They're doing prayer streams. So if you guys don't know Taylor, she got radically saved a few years ago, and now she's doing Christian YouTube. She's doing Bible studies. She's having like prayer meetings. You did a video recently about like how your prayer life is, and just great, great content. Her channel's linked in the description, but I wanted her to come on tonight and just kind of share how she went from social media famous before God to now like being on fire and serving the Lord. And then let me also say one more thing before I ask her the first thing that I have on my agenda. I know some of you guys are saying, it says OnlyFans and she did Patreon. The reason why we did OnlyFans is because I think Patreon was around before OnlyFans. It was like the thing everybody used to sell inappropriate adult content and explicit stuff. It started as like more innocent, but then people started selling adult content on there. And then OnlyFans came out. Right now, OnlyFans is like the thing everybody knows about. So we used OnlyFans, but Patreon is, it's the same thing. It's the same platform.
It's still selling sexually explicit content. It's the same thing. So using that title, I feel like also brings people in that, you know, nope. If I put to Patreon, people are gonna be like, what does that mean? They're not gonna get it at all.
Yeah, so we just did it to simplify things, guys. And again, honestly, yeah. Anyways, it's probably better we put OnlyFans so people aren't trying to look at your old stuff. And I know, of course, all your accounts have been deleted, all your stuff. But at the same time, we don't want to spark any curiosity in people. We don't want to spark any lust in people. And so we even didn't put like the logo for the OnlyFans. I didn't want none of that on my page. But we do want to share what God did. And we're not ashamed of the life God has brought us out of. We shouldn't be ashamed. I think, Taylor, one of the signs of a true salvation is that you're no longer ashamed to share what God brought you out of. And so we are going to talk about sensitive topic. If you have kids, you probably don't have to take your kids out, but just use discretion, right? You might need to cover their ears, earmuff them at some moments, but just use discretion because we will be talking about some adult content. But at the end of the day, we're going to bring glory to God. We're going to testify to his goodness, and we're going to talk more about what he brought us out of and what he's doing in our life. We're not going to give no glory to the devil. The devil's going to be shamed tonight. The devil's going to be, he's going to lose tonight. And we believe people are going to come out of that lifestyle, and it's going to be a powerful stream. So I'd love to start with, let's talk about your upbringing. A lot of people probably want to know, when you see somebody, some of these girls that God is saving that are like big time on OnlyFans or social media, you always wonder, like, what was their upbringing? How did they get to that point? So we're going to journey into how you got there, but let's start with how your upbringing was and if you were raised in a Christian home.
Should have came to Jesus a lot earlier than I did, because I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents definitely did their best to lead me to Jesus. Probably the opportunity to share the gospel with me for the first time was probably when I was 7 years old, and I remember I was bothering my sister, and she told me to go just do something else to leave her alone. She said, go grab a pillow and slide on the living room floor. So I grabbed the pillow, and I went to slide on the living room floor. Pillow stopped. I kept going, and I slammed my face on the tile floor, and I was just bleeding everywhere. And I remember being on my kitchen counter, and it was the first time in my entire life that I had anxiety, and I didn't even know what anxiety was. And I was building up the courage to ask my dad a really scary question that I never thought about before. And I asked him, I was like, Dad, am I gonna die? Like, I genuinely like was afraid of dying for my first time in my life. And of course, my Italian Long Island, New York father was like, I don't know, we're gonna see. I hope not. And that was definitely the opportunity to tell me, like, hey, like, Jesus died for our sins. Like, you're going to go to heaven if you believe in him. Like, I didn't know the gospel, but my parents, they did their best. My parents were raised Catholic. And being that they were both raised Catholic, they, you know, that led them to the Lord. And they made their Holy Communion and their confirmation. Which, if you guys don't know what that is, I still don't know really what that is, but I did go and make mine. It's basically, I think, Isaiah, you probably know, it's like schooling, and you like level up in the Catholic Church when you do those things. So their way of leading me to the Lord, which I wouldn't say is a bad way, but they enrolled me into Catholic school. So every Thursday after regular school, I would be dragged by my hair crying in the back seat to go to Catholic school. And I basically zeroed out in every class I was in, mainly because I think I'm a special case. But I just kind of always rejected school. I've always rejected anything that required me not having a choice in the matter. The fact that I had to go kind of made me reject it. So when it came to a classroom setting, that was not the way to bring me to the Lord, because I was just like, no, this is not for me. So I completely zeroed out. And I probably should have came to Jesus earlier, though, because it wasn't even that. Like, my parents, it's crazy because once I gave my life to Jesus, that was when I remembered all of the times my parents had tried and the comments they had made. And that's why I've been really pressing into this lately, because I hope this gives hope to any parents watching. My parents had every reason to feel hopeless with me. Like, feel that I went in the complete wrong direction from God. And they had every reason to feel that way. I gave them every reason to feel that way. And even though I felt like I didn't know the gospel, I felt like I didn't know who Jesus was. At the same time, once I hit rock bottom, my parents gave me the number of Jesus. They knew, I knew who to call. I knew that I just had to pick up the phone and call Jesus. And it wasn't until that moment, which we can get into, but it wasn't until I had nobody and I had nowhere else to turn that I knew where to turn, because my parents led me to know where to turn. And yeah, so maybe they didn't do everything perfect. Maybe they didn't spell out the gospel for me. I still, when I gave my life to Jesus, I remembered a song that my mom used to sing to me that was like, "Oh Jesus, sweet Jesus." I'm not gonna sing you guys the song, but I remembered it instantly, and my mom singing that over me as a kid. And although it looked like everything that they did didn't amount to anything, and that I had completely betrayed walking the Christian walk and walking with Jesus and everything it means to be a Christian, I was living the complete opposite. It once I needed Jesus, he was there.
So
And
good.
it and you know what, for me it was 23 years old. And don't give up, because I mean, I hear testimonies of people at 30, 40 years old, you know, they come to Jesus. I was lucky enough to come at 23 years old, with my brain still undeveloped, to come to Jesus. And I think for me it was also easier. I mean, I'm totally rambling, but because I got to experience so many things that I think people are chasing. Like, so many people are chasing fame, and I got to experience that so young. So many people are chasing so many things that I got to the top of the mountain of, and got to find out like it's all a mirage and it all sucks
Wow.
and it just like doesn't amount to anything and like isn't gonna fill that God-shaped size hole inside of you. And yeah, it took me exploring everything there is to, and which you know sucked because I made a lot of regrets along the way. Didn't come without those, but yeah, it took me experiencing everything, so which I'm thankful for, because now I'm able to tell somebody like,
Yeah.
yeah, I did that, like that sucks too, like I've
Yeah.
experienced that.
And I think
Yeah,
there's
so.
people pursuing what you're talking about and the fame that you experience that we're gonna go more deeper into that are still on the journey trying to get there. And we're letting you guys know early that all that ends is the end of that road is emptiness. The end of that road is depression. The end of that road is anxiety. Like people tell me with my daughters, I have four daughters, and they say, you don't want them to miss out. You need to make sure that they go to the dance and they go to the school and they go to the this and they you allow them to celebrate this holiday and that holiday and all the stuff that I don't allow them to do. And I'm thinking like, I want them to miss out on what the world has to offer. I actually want my kids to miss out on the anxiety, the depression, the fear, all these things that the world says you need to do. And some of you haven't done it yet. And you can either, not listen to us tonight and do it and then fall on your face and live with regret and live with all the stuff you did. Or you can just say, okay, I'm gonna use their testimony and their example, and I'm not gonna go down that road. I'm not gonna go and do what Taylor did. Like, we're trying to talk you guys out of this lifestyle. We're trying to talk you guys out of doing the things that we did to end up where we were at before we met God. And one of the things as you're talking, Taylor, that's so beautiful about Christianity and the gospel is hearing everybody's story, how they all got to a place, whether it was at the top of the mountain or the bottom of the valley, where they realize there is nothing in this life that satisfies me. There is nothing in this life that fills my void. There is nothing in this life that brings me true pleasure and true joy. Like when Jesus looked at the disciples and said, are you guys gonna leave me? And Peter said, where would we go? You have the words of eternal life. Like, you're the only one that makes us feel alive. And it's this universal thing that happens to millions of people around the world, only in Christianity, where you have this experience with God where everything changes, where you become a new person. And it's amazing. And that's what we want to happen in your guys' life tonight. And then the other thing I wanted to say to that is, as parents, guys, we have to do our best to get our kids in environments where they can experience God. Because the same way you were raised, I was raised from 8 years old on in a very lukewarm church, a very complacent church where there wasn't the power of God. There wasn't, miracles or deliverance or the spiritual gifts or the Holy Spirit baptizing people. And I grew up in that, I would call it a religious environment, probably similar to you. And a lot of people have religion, and Paul says they have a form of godliness, but they deny the very power that can make them godly. And I think, Taylor, that's what we're missing in the church. We're missing the presence and the power and the anointing of God that actually changes a person like you, that actually changes a person like me, that can, have a girl who's already famous, has everything she's ever wanted in life at what, 22, 21 years old, and then say, I want God in my life. And so I love that you, even though you were raised in a religious home, you never truly encountered God until you said 22, 23. And you could tag onto that, but as well, I'd like to ask, how did your journey become where you became famous on social media? And again, guys, this is before she was a Christian. How did that journey start where you became internet famous?
So I grew up in Long Island, New York, and then one day my parents came in and they were like, "We're gonna move to Arizona." And I was like, "Great." Was so excited. I was like, "I'm gonna be the new girl in town. This is gonna be my new life." And I remember getting off the plane and I'd never been to Arizona before, and I was like, "Yeah, we gotta go home. We can't stay here." And
Spot.
I was miserable because everything's just so brown. Not to knock Arizona,
Yeah,
but it's
it
like,
totally is.
and it will suck the life out of you. And for me, for someone like me, like I grew up on Long Island, everything's green, everything's alive. And I moved to Arizona and I was like, this is rough. But then what made it more rough, and I did not know what await me in school, but I had to take a test to see if I was gonna be in the 7th or 8th grade because the New York school system was so different than Arizona. And I wish I flunked that test. I absolutely passed it. And they put me in a grade where I was then the youngest in my entire class, which made it 10 times harder to fit in. I had a New York accent at the time. People did not like that out there. I stuck out like a sore thumb. And I was also like at 11 years old, like I was just like weird. Like I was always a weird girl anyways. Like I was always like an outcast.
We all
I
were.
was me well I was like a misfit. Like I remember I was known as like the bug girl with these two other girls in elementary school. We wouldn't hang out with anyone. We would just be like picking the bugs in the dirt behind the baseball field. I was always like a weirdo, but like I had friends. Like everyone in Long Island like is just very easy people. And Arizona, I just found a rougher time, and I didn't know that that was going to happen. And I had a lot of for the first time ever, like kind of social anxiety. And I think I, looking back, I definitely played a role in not fitting in. I just kind of expected people to come to me. I was in fear. Fear was the root of so many bad choices that I made in my life. It held me back from so many things, so much life it held me back from.
Wow.
And I look back, I would have joined like theater. I would have done so many things, like now knowing myself too, but I just let fear stand in the way of so many things. And I let fear stand in the way of being in friend groups too. But even then, even if I had tried, there were a lot of people that just didn't like me. And to the point where like I couldn't even go to a party. Like a group of people would come up and say, like, "You can't be here." Like
Wow.
Taylor, my real last name's Compton. They'd be like, "Taylor Compton cannot be here." And I would try every party. I would be escorted out of the party with all the eyes on me. And that was actually a lot of the things I filmed on YouTube. But before I got big, that was why I even went on the computer, because I was now, I think I was 13 or 14 years old when I first got on the computer, and I got my mom's laptop. And this was back, like my parents are boomers. They did not know, like, hey, let's not let our
Yeah.
15, 15-year-old girl alone on the laptop. Let's not do that. But I definitely did, and I got on this app. It was called Stick'em. And I got on, it's a live streaming app, ironically, and now today and live streaming. But I got on a live streaming app and I got so many viewers just in like one shot, and I was like, wow, I for the first time since I moved to Arizona don't feel alone. Like I feel like I fit in somewhere. And that's what social media always was for me too. Like I had friends. Like I had no friends in real life. Like I couldn't wait to get off of the school bus, run home and get on my computer and talk to complete strangers online. But at the same time, they were my friends. And I, to the point where like I would even text with some of them. Like I made a lot of friendships online. And I didn't have an Instagram at the time until some kids at my school started coming up to me and they're like, "Hey, there's a bunch of fake accounts of you on this app called Instagram." And I didn't even know about the app. And it was like when catfishing first became a thing and people were using my
Wow.
photo. And I remember there was one account that had like a over 100,000 followers, and this was back then. Like
That's
that was like, this
crazy.
is crazy. I got to get on this app, and I had to kick this person off. And this is before you could even make money on there, anyways, too. Like Instagram was cool back then. Like it was like very raw and real, and just not edited, and it was cool. But I made an Instagram, and instantly blew up. Did really well, and that was kind of just like the place where I hid for a while, and it made it even harder in school to fit in at that point. Like at that point, I was just like that weird social media famous girl back when it wasn't cool and everybody didn't want to be associated with me and made fun of me. So that was great. But wow. Yeah, that's how it led to growing.
Yeah. So you went from Instagram, so kind of becoming famous. And if you guys don't know what a catfish is, that's basically where you pretend to be someone else and then you build a relationship with somebody and they think that they're talking to Taylor, but they're really talking to some guy that's in his mom's basement with like Doritos on his lap, talking to you on the internet using her picture. So that's what a catfish is. So you became this famous catfish, like your pictures became where all of a sudden you have thousands of accounts where people are pretending to be you. How did that transcend into getting into YouTube? And then ultimately, which is what we're going to talk about, you starting to sell adult content, right? And inappropriate content, inappropriate pictures, whatever word you guys want to use online. How did that transpire? And then I'm also interested to know we'll go into that after. But yeah, how did that transpire from into the YouTube, into the selling pictures?
Okay, so I started on Musical.ly. That was after Instagram. That was the first time I was kind of creating. I know a lot of people look at being social media famous as like the easiest career in the world, but it is a lot goes into it and is not for everybody. And it requires a lot of consistency. And I'm not saying it's the hardest thing in the world, but I'm saying it's not for everybody. And it's not for everybody. But it led me to find out that I was a very creative person. I love to create. And I kind of figured that out on Musical.ly because that was like the next step with social media that you could like really step into like creativity and do weird, funny stuff, which is now TikTok. So I was making videos on there. And then shortly after that, I started posting on YouTube, but I had no idea what I was doing. And my thumbnails back then were really rough. I just kind of went into it, just not thinking, and just tried to be, just try to create whatever was on my mind, I guess. And then, I mean, I'd be skipping a huge part of my testimony, but I had met Tanner, which a lot of people know I was in a relationship with, and he was actually the one that taught me everything about YouTube.
And he was a really famous YouTuber, for those that don't know, at that time, correct?
Yes, and okay. I thank him so much because he's the one that taught me to edit. He taught me how to do my thumbnails. He taught me how to do everything related to YouTube. And he made it that I was able to create, like, because that's what YouTube really is for, you know, a lot of people. It's like we have this idea in our head and we want to bring it to life. And I was able to do that with somebody teaching me, so, which was really cool.
Okay, and did you become famous from, because his channel at the time was like one of the biggest channels on YouTube, and does you and him dating become one of the ways where your YouTube took off and people started to know you? Is that kind of how that took off?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think I had about 500,000 on Instagram at the time, and I think I had 1 million on Musical.ly, which is now TikTok. But, yeah, I mean, we both started creating together on YouTube and we were doing a couple videos and they started to grow really fast. And we just had an absolute blast making videos, to be honest. Like, we just loved what we did. And I think that really shows when you're content creating too. Like, it was just not forced and it was supernatural. And yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that. Like, we weren't going on a date the first time we hung out. It was just, I had finally met somebody because he had messaged me that he was in Arizona and wanted to hang out. And I was all for it because I had never met anybody in real life that did what I did. And living in Arizona, it's not like Los Angeles. You know, I didn't know anybody that did what I did. I was always like just still that weird social media famous girl. So I was like totally down. And we met up and instantly hit it off. And yeah, I mean, from there, I mean, we just created together. So it was awesome. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you, in the midst of going famous, right? There's a lot of young people watching this that are like, want to be Instagram famous, want to be TikTok famous. I saw this video where they went into I think it was elementary school. It was like a bunch of kids that were, I don't know, maybe 10, 11, 12. I don't even know the grades or ages or what, but they were young kids. They were like 10-year-olds. And they asked them, what do you want to be when you grow up? I kid you not, Taylor, every single one of these kids, I want to be a YouTuber. I want to be a TikToker. I want to be Instagram. Like, I was scared. I'm like, we're not going to have any police officers, any firefighters, any doctors. Guys, like in 10 years, it might just be all Instagram people. We're not going to have, we're going to have to go to a robot, some Tesla robot doing surgery, because literally all these kids, they just want to do Instagram, all of this. So now you're doing that. You're living what for a lot of kids is the dream. Is there any point where you are becoming famous? You're now growing tons of followers. You end up, we'll talk about starting to sell pictures online, making a lot of money doing that. Is there any point where you stop and be like, I need God in my life? Like, do you think that? Do you think like, I'm lost? I need God. Is God even in your mind? Because I remember back when I was in the world, I didn't even really have any thought from like ages, I don't know, 15, well, maybe 14 to like 19. God was not even in my mind. I never thought like, I need to serve God. I want to go to church. I want to be a preacher. None of that. Was that ever like on your heart, or did anybody ever try to witness to you through these moments where you thought like, I'm living like an unbelieving lifestyle, or I'm lost?
Well, I mean, I've my whole life had, even going to Catholic school, I just had a preconceived notion in my head that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. I don't know why and you know what, looking at the statistics, like if you look it up, like that is a very, very large percentage of the world. I think it's like one of the biggest lies the devil has ever pulled on anybody. Like it's like the whole world, it's like a good percentage of the world believes that I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven, a good God would never send to hell. And it's sad to believe that. I believed that, and I was just naive, you know. I just didn't know. I think if somebody told me, I do think I would have believed, but no, nobody told me. And I mean, I can't really say that though, because it did take me hitting rock bottom. But how it led to Patreon from there, from YouTube, was,
which if you can, because there are new people and we do have some older people. We love you guys. You guys are seasoned, have a lot of wisdom in the chat. So maybe someone that's older doesn't know what OnlyFans or Patreon is. They're pretty much similar, but maybe explain to them what it is and then talk about kind of how you went into doing that.
Okay. Let me explain how I went into it first, and then I'll kind of explain.
Perfect.
What it is. So, this was after me and Tanner had broke up. I mean, my story is kind of all over the place. I don't want to like keep going back and forth, but.
Oh, it's fine.
I got back to Arizona and I was basically suppressing a lot of anxiety that I wasn't dealing with when I was rising to fame. Like I didn't realize it was there. It was very suppressed for the first time. I didn't like it was there, but I was just, you know, I had all these followers coming in. We were making content all the time. I was living a very fast, fun lifestyle that I just never dealt with it. And then once we broke up, the music stopped and the friends stopped. And I was just back alone in Arizona. And I had a lot of anxiety from an abusive relationship I was in that I never dealt with. I had health anxiety that I never even knew was there, that just was really loud. And I just started suppressing that with alcohol and whatever else I could find. Let your mind do the talking there. But then I got involved with just a bad group of people. And I wouldn't say this person is a bad person, but, you know, I was walking with the world. So I had somebody who was a good friend of mine. I had for the first time experienced financial anxiety because I had gotten into, sorry if this is all over the place.
No, it's
fine. I had gotten into drinking, and that was very much displayed on my social media. I mean, you could definitely see my product on YouTube was a lot different, and you could see it in my photos. I started to post wearing less, and I just got really just careless on there, and I just completely started to show a version of myself that I didn't know, because I was drinking and that's the version of me that was out there and that I was posting. And I was just dumb and naive about it. And I was just suppressing all of this anxiety. And then one of those things that came with that was financial anxiety, because all of a sudden I realized like, hey, I don't really want to do this for the rest of my life anymore. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And it sucks. It really sucks, Isaiah, because I loved the, I would say the brand I created, because it was me. My social media was always me. Like, did I post risque stuff sometimes? Yes. But like at the end of the day, it was me. And then I, for a year, I was posting, that's what the devil does. He got me tempted with alcohol and all that other stuff. And I just blew it all. I threw it all away. And once you lose people's trust, you know, they don't want to, they're just done. You know, they're like, okay, she's off the deep end. And that sucked when I realized that. And I was ready to like stop drinking. I was like, oh shoot. Like, who, like, look at what I'm posting now. Like, how am I going to continue to post like this too and stop drinking? But I had financial anxiety, and my good friend, who obviously meant well when you're in the world, you mean well, but he had no idea that he was definitely being used in that moment to introduce to me this platform called Patreon. He's like, just make a Patreon. Like, I see all these girls making Patreons and you can make easy money. And honestly, to this day, I had no idea what I was getting myself into at the time. I think it's because when you don't have Jesus in your life, you have zero boundaries too.
Yeah.
So I didn't look at it as bad as it was either. Like, I just looked at it like, okay, I'll just post like bikini photos here and there. And it's just like a community. And it's just a place for my followers to all be together and basically pay for it. But at the end of the day, and you know, I see a lot of people say like, oh, well, I don't post nude on there, and neither did I. But at the end of the day, you are selling your body to people to pay for, to look at you in a sexual manner. At the end of the day, that's what it is. And this world, that's why like I talk about shame so much, because that's what led me to the cross. And I think that this generation lacks shame. I think that the devil succeeded so much in glorifying what's evil and what's wrong. And, you know, there's words that are just inappropriate to use to call people, you know, that are in that. How do I explain that? I feel like we should just call it what it is sometimes. And it's obviously wrong, you know, like posting in that manner, like, oh, I just, I'm so glad that my parents raised me to know the Lord, because even though I didn't know I had him, I didn't know that he was watching over me. I was able to, I think, experience shame because of that at a different level. Like, I knew that this is wrong. But what Patreon and OnlyFans is that it's selling sexually explicit content. At the end of the day, that's what it is. And that's why so many people are making so much money on it. And that's when I realized like how wrong it was, because I posted it and I made my account, and within like 3 hours, I'm watching how many people are subscribing. And I, in that moment, realized, okay, I think this is a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Wow.
And at the time, I had 2 million followers, or I think I had 3 million. I lost 500,000 when I came to Jesus. They were like, see you later, bye. Yeah. But yeah, a lot of people signed up, and I just remember for the next 24 hours, I didn't even sleep. I was just staring at all of these people signing up, and the easiest money that I ever made in my life. Yet I just felt myself getting more and more empty the more people signed up. And I was thinking about quitting already. I was like, something's wrong here. This is weird. You know, I didn't know. This was, I know you might say like, how did you not know? No, I really didn't know until it was happening. And I'm like, because I've always had the personality where I jump into things way too quick and I don't think on it. Now I don't, thankfully, but I used to just like, I'm like, let's just do it. Whatever. I had no boundaries. So I'm like, why not? Let's try it. And made the easiest money ever. And then within a week, I kid you not, I watched the light dim from my eyes. Like, I was just dark. Like, even what I was choosing to put on, I feel like sometimes that's a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. Like, what we choose to put on.
Yeah.
I started dressing like in all black. I even got like a fake nose ring. So weird. Like, turning scene again. I just like, it was just so like, I just couldn't recognize myself in the mirror, and it sucked. Like, I was like, I'm making the easiest, most money I've ever made in my life. Yet why is this not fulfilling me? So then I started like going to the stores, and like, I was getting Balenciagas. I was getting Louis Vuittons. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a good day. I'm gonna have a good day. And I'd quickly find out the next day. I'm like, okay, I'm still craving weed. I'm still craving alcohol, because I'm just looking for something to suppress what it like what it is I'm chasing is not working. And I still just had so much anxiety that I didn't know who to talk about with, because I dealt with something really weird, which is health anxiety. And I personally know maybe two people in my entire life that have that. And it's basically, if you don't know what health anxiety, sorry, I'm really going all over the place.
No, you're fine. You're fine. It's good.
Okay, because that's like honestly such a big part of my testimony. And that's why I started out with this, with me being 7 years old and asking my parents if I'm going to die, because health anxiety is impending doom. It feels like, let's just say I've had a headache for 2 weeks. My mind will instantly tell me so quick and convince me like, you probably have brain cancer. You need to go to the doctor. You can have brain cancer. And I'm kind of thankful in a way that I had this weird anxiety, because it was almost like I faced like my last breath. Like I was constantly thinking, okay, well, if I do die, what's going to happen? You know, I feel like a lot of people don't think about that. Like you only live once is the devil's biggest thing. I feel like he's pushed in this generation. Like, oh, you only live once. YOLO was like such a big thing growing up. But like, you don't only live once, and what you do here does matter.
Come on.
And I'm thankful that I have had that feeling over and over again of impending doom, because that is what's going to happen when we take our last breath. One of my favorite videos on my channel is when you take your last breath. I've had so many people reach out to me that have given their life to Christ after watching that video. And I'm just so thankful for it, because that is what's going to happen. We are all going to take our last breath. And you can call us the crazy Christians, but at the same time, the Bible says no one is without excuse. I knew my whole life. I knew, like, maybe I didn't believe in Jesus because nobody told me really the gospel. It never really clicked, but I always believed there was a God. Like, like just looking at us and how different we are from everything on this planet, and how just amazing the creation of human beings is, and how intricate, and just we're just so different from everything else here. To not believe that we have a creator was always just that's just something I always believed. But I believed I was a good person, and until I realized after posting on Patreon, I was like, wait a second, I'm not this good person that I thought I was. So if I died, what would happen? And that's really like the biggest thing that I feel like proves Christianity for me. At the time for me. Now I know it to be true, but at the time I was like, why do I have this guilt? Why do I have the shame? What is this? Shame is such a good thing, because then I found out that the law of God is written on our hearts.
Yeah.
And that's why we have shame. Like, I was like, okay, that makes sense. That's why I feel guilty after doing this. That's why I feel embarrassed after doing this. That's why I have anxiety after doing this. And everything just makes sense. Everything started to click. And yeah.
That's like really, really off. That no, it's so good. I told her before, I said, listen, you're not going off. If anybody goes off on a rabbit trail, it's me. No one's gonna out rabbit trail me. My audience is used to me talking about one thing and then ending up being like, well, how did we end up in front of Taco Bell? I go all over the place. So you're doing a great job. And guys, by the way, this is our first podcast, like sharing her story, sharing her testimony ever. And you're doing a great job sharing that. I just wanted to give, for some of you that don't know how big of a deal or what an epidemic we're in right now. We're really going through another sexual revolution, which is not a good thing in America. OnlyFans is paid out over $5 billion to their users. There's and these are not good statistics. 500,000 brand new users are created every single day on OnlyFans. And there's over 170 million users total, with 500,000 creators posting every single day. So now we have, instead of before, it's like these porn industries controlling the market. Now you have all of these young girls, young guys, instead of going off to college, instead of raising a family, amen, instead of getting married and having kids, they're now going online. As you said, Taylor, it's an epidemic. They're selling their body. They're not selling a product from being self-employed or starting businesses. They're actually selling their body and not realizing that there's a price you have to pay. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So you, as you share, it's so important. What you talked about is that shame. Like, that's the shame that we have, that sin creates in our life, where we feel guilty, we feel ashamed. That's the conviction that God gives even people that don't have the Holy Spirit. They have that conscience and that conviction. And a lot of girls, and some even watching, and I know because Some of them posted on our Instagram that they're going to be tuning in and watching. They're looking for life and purpose and joy and peace, and they're trying to find a quick buck. And I was thinking today just about your testimony and what God's done in your life and how a lot of these girls are trying to get rich fast on OnlyFans. That's really what it is. It's like a shortcut. I want to work hard. And I was thinking about Proverbs over and over and over. It talks about getting how bad getting rich quick is, how bad it is to try to make money fast because there's a price to pay. Like some of you girls that are creating OnlyFans content that are in the chat right now, you're actually destroying lives. You're leading people into sin. You're leading people down the pathway of hell. That's why Solomon tells the young men, don't even go near the door of lust. Don't even go near the door of the adulterous woman's house. Don't even go near. The Bible tells us over and over, run from lust, run from sexual sin. And sadly, the enemy is using, and thank God that you've been saved and delivered and God brought you out of that lifestyle. But some of you girls don't realize it's not just a get rich quick thing. Actually, the enemy's using you to destroy marriages. The enemy's using you to destroy young people. The enemy's using you to destroy relationships. And so many guys, and I'm going to pray for the guys at the end. So many guys, Taylor, you know this, and girls are bound by the spirit of lust, are bound by this principality over America. And more pornography, more adult content comes out of the U.S. than everywhere else in the world combined out of the U.S. And it's an epidemic, and we really need revival. I celebrate when you get saved, when that girl, I forget her name, that just got saved. She was like one of the top, Nala, she just got saved, and she was making, I don't know how many millions a month. She was one of the top creators on OnlyFans. The Lord can do it. Guys, we need to be praying for these girls. And let me ask some of you guys this and really challenge some of you guys. And I know I'm going off, but it's all right. We're going on a rabbit trail here. Everybody hang on. Like, you're praying for God to move in all this, but how are you going to watch content from these girls and also pray that God saves them? We should be praying that God saves these OnlyFans girls. Amen. We should be praying that God saves these OnlyFans guys and these porn stars. Yet some of you guys in the chat right now are being entertained by the very girls you're supposed to be praying for. You're being entertained by the porn stars that you're supposed to be praying that God would save them. And I really feel called, I've always felt called, to help disciple, you know, movie stars and people that come out that are famous and coming out of the world and helping disciple them and teach them to be radical for God. Because I think a lot of celebrity pastors are lukewarm and they teach celebrities to be lukewarm. And I really feel like the Lord's given me a message for celebrities and famous people that you gotta be all in. You cannot be halfway. You cannot be partial. You can't just warm a chair on Sunday to be all in. And I think there is a revival coming, Taylor. I think you're a part of that. I think you're one of the early ones that God has brought out of that God has saved. And I want to encourage, as you did in the beginning, some of you in the chat, maybe your daughter is on OnlyFans right now. Maybe your daughter is far off from God. But we're believing and we're praying tonight that the Lord would save her. This Taylor is a sign to you that God can do it in your daughter. Maybe you have a son that's an atheist right now that's mocking God, cussing at God. That was me. That was me, and God saved me. So God can do it. And so your story is just so powerful because the world needs to hear your story. These girls in this industry, and I just gave you the statistic, 500,000 of them. A lot of them are girls, but some guys every day are making content, selling their body like it's a product. And we're creating a culture now because of OnlyFans and all of that where women are looked at as items, where women are looked at as objects, where they're looked at as merchandise. And that is not God's will. That is not the plan of God. Women are these incredible beings that can reproduce humans, can have children and can help be this and that and all of these things they can do. Yet we've dumbed it down, the devil has, in America, to these women are items and products. Ladies, let me just tell you, you are not a product. You are not an item. You are not worthless. You are not something that just, like, think twice. And I'm talking to those of you in the chat that are in this world and that are watching on the replay. Think twice before you just give away something that was only meant for your husband. Your husband is the only one meant to see that, and yet you're giving it away. It is a lot of money you're making, but it's actually so cheap. You're actually giving yourself away. You're selling yourself short, even though, you know, you're making money. And I would ask you, Taylor, what is something that people don't realize? Maybe it's the guys that are buying this, which, and I hate to say it, but really, shame on you. Maybe the guys that are buying this, you're fueling this whole thing. But what are some of the things maybe normal people don't realize in this industry, in, you know, selling your body and selling these pictures? Like, what is something people don't realize goes along with that, that goes on behind the scenes that maybe they wouldn't see?
gotten to see after doing it, I would say, which probably is not the answer you're thinking it is, but I, or a lot of people would think, that money does not belong to you. I've got to quickly find that out after leaving it. Like, I thought, okay, once I have this amount of money, I'm going to leave, I'm going to say goodbye, and I'm going to be comfortable. That money did not belong to me. It belonged to the devil, and it was dirty money. And I think a lot of people think, you know, like you said, it's the quick, easy way. And that's always the devil. That's always what he offers, is the quick, easy way. And with God, things are slow, but things are great. And I mean, yeah, I guess that's probably the one thing that I think a lot of people just don't realize that sign up for it from a girl's perspective. That, you know, you think, I think it also comes too from just living in a time right now where things are hard. You know, this generation has painted women as being the man, you know, and a lot of women are up in this generation and don't want to be the man. I don't want to be the man. Since I was a kid, I'm like, I can't wait to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I couldn't wait to do all that. And, you know, and because of that, I think the product of that is now so many girls, you know, trying to find an easy way to not struggle. And they just can't do it. They need men. And look, at the end of the day, they need men to pay for their content.
Yeah.
So I guess, you're not going to stop men from purchasing this content, but it starts with you, you know, turning it off and unsubscribing and unfollowing, like Isaiah said. I know there's a lot of people that say, like, oh, well, I'm just following her so I could pray for her. Like, no, like, be smarter, you know, put boundaries up. Just what we feed. I'm like so in a season of that, of like what I'm feeding my mind, what I'm looking at. I'm even like, I don't even want to go on my phone. I don't want to even doom scroll, because what you are looking at, you are literally feeding your mind. It's brain food. You are feeding your mind. It's destructs in your brain. Like, even with movies I watch, like, if there is, like, I look up to see if there is a sex scene in a movie, because I ain't watching it then. I'm not feeding my brain that, my mind that, because we need to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And we need to be, we live in a time, guys, it's a fast paced time, and you could just open up your phone so easily on TikTok. I know I've made a TikTok for a friend one time under a guy's account, and it was instantly fed just Instagram model after Instagram model, wearing absolutely nothing. I get it. I can only imagine what is being force fed on you. But we need to be guarding our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and you need to be putting up thick boundaries when it comes to getting on your TV, and just don't support it. Just don't support it. And, you know, that's why I love that. I just made a video on, do men prefer modesty? And I pray that women see that, because men are desiring modesty. Men are, the pendulum is swinging the other way, because they're realizing what's going on is not working. And men don't want that, I don't want to call it easy, but I mean, it's so easy to just pay to see somebody's body now, that men are desiring a woman who is, you know, is clothed. And I'm not talking from a holier than thou perspective. This took a lot of time to be able to come on here wearing a t-shirt and feel pretty. I totally get it. I was raised in the same time as you guys, so I understand. But I mean, it's just the Lord can't do his, like, I feel like we stop the work on our minds and our spirit when we are feeding ourselves nothing but junk.
Absolutely. That's such a good point. I was laughing because my pastor used to always say to all the team, he's older, but he used to always say, modest is hottest. So, like, ladies, don't be coming in here, you know, with those Jezebel shorts on. Don't be coming in there wearing those low cut shirts in the house of God. But really, you do have to be responsible. And honestly, I do want to say this to the guys, speaking about lust and all that. Some of you guys, you know this. You can't, and I know I'm gonna have to talk to you like you're a little kid, because some of you act like it when you look at your history, your browse history. Some of you can't handle having a phone. Some of you can't handle being on Instagram. Some of you, and then Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. He says, if your hand, and then I love what Jesus says. He says, if your hand, even your good hand, causes you to sin, cut it off. So the point is, you have to do drastic things in your life to say, I don't want this in my life. I'm not going to get on TikTok. And especially young people. Now, my mind is blown because a lot of you adults let your kids on TikTok. I was like, I see little kids at the store. They're on TikTok scrolling. I'm like, what kind of parent? You're opening up. I'm telling you guys, and I'm using harsh language. You're opening up the floodgates of hell. If you're letting your kids on social media, on TikTok, your 9-year-old, your 13-year-old, your young teenage boy has no business scrolling on Instagram, scrolling on TikTok. The devil's after them. So we do have to do what you said. Put up the boundaries. Put up the safeguards. If your eye causes you, 2024 version, if your laptop causes you to sin, get rid of it. If your iPhone causes you to sin, get rid of it. We really do, because a lot of you just can't handle all the sexual things thrown at you. I mean, now, like, you go to the mall, you go anywhere, it's just sexual stuff everywhere. It's clothes are getting less and less and less. I don't know how else to say it. Some of you old people in the chat, seasoned veterans in the chat, let me know if I'm lying. It's getting less and less and less, and that's not God's way. I think you did a video recently talking about how, like, just because we're in 2024, God doesn't change his standards, and that is so true. Just because it's 2024, God still wants ladies, hello, amen, live to dress modest. God still wants you to be appropriate, to cover up, and you're like, well, I'm not married. I'm looking for, well, guess what? Don't show him what is only meant for the wedding night. You're showing him now it's only meant for the wedding night. And you're showing him early. You're literally giving up what you're supposed to save for your husband. And he might not even be your husband. And some of y'all, the guy you're dating is definitely not your husband. He won't even go to church, let alone be your husband. But my point is, I think we do have to get to a place where modesty becomes the norm, where holiness becomes good and right again. And we really do turn away from, as you said, the music, the movies, the culture. Like, there's very few things now you could even watch that are good. There's very few things, even with kids' movies, Taylor, I do the same thing. I go on there, my kids say, we want to watch the new movie that came out. I go online on, I don't know what it's called, like christianmoms.com, where it tells like the Christian moms, they tell about the movies. I'm on there reading about the Christian mom saying, don't go take your kid to that movie. There's, you know, there's a gay this, there's a gay that, there's the two moms, three dads, four cats. I don't even know. All these movies out here are LGBT, every kid's movie now. I'm like, I don't even, it's bringing confusion. It's bringing perversion. So we have to be vigilant. It takes work. But as you said, we can't keep feeding ourselves junk and expecting to be, you know, walking with God. I want to know though. So now here you are, grew up in a Catholic home, and then you end up becoming social media famous. Then you move into a darker time in your life where you're now selling inappropriate pictures, adult content, on this website, Patreon, which is pretty much the same as OnlyFans. And how do you get to doing all of that? How does somebody like you then, and I'm not being rude to say that, but like, how does someone like you in that world, how do they encounter God? How did you get to your moment where you encountered the Holy Spirit? And I do want to say this. I've seen your journey from, I don't know, a couple years ago when you posted that testimony video. Was it end of 2020? And I've seen how God has just, you've continued to walk out holiness, and you've made videos about like getting rid of your clothing and your inappropriate clothing, and you've made videos about prayer and fasting, and I've seen your journey, how you've gone from just, hey, I got saved, to now, you know, living on fire for God. Like, if you guys go to her channel, link in the description, she's on fire, she's serving the Lord, she's radical, she's all in, and it's been that journey. But I want to know, where did that journey start? How did you get your encounter, your salvation experience?
It is so crazy what God will use at the right time. I had the most health anxiety that I ever had in my entire life, impending doom. Like, it's literally, you feel like you just got your death sentence. That is what your mind convinces you of. And I was sitting in a doctor's office, and there was a pamphlet about Jesus. Wow. And like one of those flat, I think they call it a flat. And I just clung to it. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try that. Like, I explored every other option. Like, I didn't know what else to do. And it was just calling my name. Literally, I grabbed it. I shoved it in my purse. I went home. And I remember opening it by myself. And I don't really remember reading it, but I knew the next thing I knew, I went on YouTube and I was typing in sermon. And, you know, all the big ones came up, Stephen Furtick and just a couple other people. And I'm brand new into this. Like, I didn't know.
And what year was this, if you don't mind me asking? How old were you? What year?
I was 23. So, and I think it was, I should really know the date. I think it should be 3 or 4 years ago, right?
Okay. It's like around 2020.
Yes, around 2020. It was really close to COVID, like right before COVID. happened. But yeah, I found a pamphlet and it led me to go home and type in sermon on my YouTube. And then about 2 days later, I got in my Jeep and I remember this like it was yesterday too. It was so crazy. I sat in my front seat and I said out loud, I said, "This is so weird. Jesus, if you are real, like, I want to know you. Obviously, you'd be able to hear me right now if you're real. If you're real, I want to know you." And it's as simple as that. And I didn't even know I had to come to Jesus and do X, Y, Z. Like, I didn't know I'd be like, I confess my sins to you. It wasn't even like that. I just called out to him. I just called out to him and he came to me because let me tell you, in my entire life, this is how I knew it was real, because for the first time ever, I experienced a peace that goes beyond understanding. Like, I was like, this is it. Like, this is it. Like, I had complete peace that I was searching for and wasting so much time and gaining so much regrets and shame. When I'm just coming to Jesus, that shame just, like, it washed off of me. I knew in that moment when I called out to Jesus and I said, "I need your help." I knew within those 10 minutes of me talking to him that shame was being washed away.
Wow. And
nothing else, nothing that I've done, like, it's gone. It's erased. And I've never battled with that again. Like, I really haven't. I know some people do, and that's okay. But I truly believe and I know that not only did Jesus take my sins on the cross, but he took the weight of my shame. And I don't need to feel that anymore. And I knew that. And I think because I had so much shame, that I couldn't carry it on my own, I had to almost, like, give it to him. Didn't know what else to do. And I was like, "You have to take this from me. I can't carry this anymore. I can't carry the weight of these regrets and decisions that I made. And I just can't even look at myself in the mirror, and you need to help me. If you're real, like, please help me." And the peace that came over me, Isaiah, was like, it was like, this is crazy. I couldn't believe how real. Like, I was like, this is so awesome. I'm so glad you're real. I'm so glad this is a thing.
Wow.
Because this world is nothing compared to that peace that you will feel in that moment with Jesus when you call out to him. Nothing in this entire world can give you that God-shaped size hole that is in you, that you are just trying to grab all these different things to fill, and it's just, nothing is going to work. It may work for a little bit, and it may feel like, I'm on the right track. This is it. This is the key to happiness, but it's gonna lead you to destruction every single time. I've went down every single road. And if you are not on the road with Jesus, if you are not walking with Jesus, you are walking to your impending doom, destruction, hell. That's where it's going to lead. That's, I know, right. Some people want to dress it up and they don't want to talk about heaven and hell. Like, I feel so many people I see just don't want it. Yeah. I know we're not supposed to scare people to the cross, but in a way, like, I kind of needed to be scared. Like, I had to feel that doom. I had to feel that, like, I am going to take my last breath one day. What is going to happen? Nobody wants to talk about it. That's not a believer. That's going to happen. What's going to happen when you get a bad doctor's report and they tell you that you have cancer and you have 3 months to live? What's going to happen? Because in that moment, you know, when you take that very last breath, what do you think is really going to be there? And I know, I'm certain that, like, I'm going to be with Jesus. There's no doubt in my mind. And I still have unbelievers in my life that are like, "Taylor, you don't know that. Like, it's just another religion." No, you know, yes. When you experience Jesus, there's not a single doubt in my mind. I am done searching. I know that when I get on my knees, I am talking to my Father, and I'm with Jesus. Like, I am a soldier for Christ, and I'm going to spend the rest of my time here, however long that is, another week, another month, however much longer I have on this earth, I no longer fear death, because I know that I am going to be with Jesus, and I am just focused on my mission here. I'm focused on being a light in the darkness. And sorry, don't want to ramble again.
No, so good.
I'm going to keep apologizing for that. But after I gave my life to Jesus, I weirdly deleted my social media. I was like, "All right, I'm getting rid of Instagram. I'm getting rid of all of these dark social media apps." And I was just still kind of selfish. Like, I thought, okay, I'm saved. My anxiety is gone, which I still deal with anxiety we could talk about, but my anxiety's gone and I'm fine. So nothing else matters and I can delete all this stuff and I can start anew and I could just leave this behind me. And really quickly, I found out that this walk is not about me. And that is what's different about walking with Jesus than anything else on this planet is it's not selfish, it's selfless. And it's about everybody else but me. And people wouldn't know. You don't want to do that because it's like we all make a God out of ourselves. At the end of the day, it's me, me, me. And it's the me, me, me generation for sure. But we don't want to put others before ourselves. But in reality, that is the key to anxiety. It takes all the pressure off when you realize this is not about me and this is not about my one little life down here on this planet because this is passing away. It's about sharing the gospel with every creature on this planet. That is what I am called to do. So when I realized that and I was like, okay, hold up. I'm supposed to share this with other people. I have almost 3 million followers. That is exactly why that's where God called me. You know, verse that say stay where you are when you're where you are called, I believe it says, and I probably just butchered that, but I was exactly where I needed to be where Christ called me, and I ran from that position, so I ran back, and yeah, so then people got to see me, basically my walk with Jesus, which let me tell you did not look pretty. It was really bumpy. I definitely fell back into things I never thought I was going to ever again. And also, which we can get into, is the devil definitely sent somebody into my life, which I had posted about my unequally yoked relationship that hindered my walk with Jesus so much. And one of the biggest things I could say to you, if you are a new believer, get around other believers, because you, the devil, like, I wish I had other believers around me. And it was kind of during COVID, so I really couldn't. It was difficult to, but he was able to send someone into my life, and I was just so unequipped, so unprepared. I didn't know that I had to read the Bible. I didn't know that reading the Bible was essential to the Christian walk. I just thought, like, okay, I own one. I went to Barnes & Noble's, and I bought one, and it's sitting cute on my nightstand, and I could post an Instagram picture with the one highlighted verse that I have. But little did I know that I need this word, and God put me in positions where I needed it, and that's why I can't go a single day without the word of God. I bring it with me everywhere. But he sent somebody into my life, and you might have saw my video on that if you came from my channel, but the person he sent into my life, and I don't blame this person. They were just a pawn. And when you're not walking with Jesus, the devil will use you as a pawn in other lives, for his mission. And he just kept me from Jesus, and he brought me back to where I was, and I went back to all these things that Jesus freed me from. And that was probably the hardest thing in my walk with Jesus, because I had always put my happiness and my joy in boys my whole life. I've always been a hopeless romantic, and just even like getting praise from men online, like that was like filling this God-shaped size hole. Was not filling it, was just throwing it in there. And I just thought I needed a man to love me to feel joy, and I didn't want to leave this relationship, and I ignored the Holy Spirit for a year. And because I ignored the Holy Spirit for a year, I missed out on God wanting to use me and experiencing what I have now. Since walking through that door I didn't want to walk through, I'm so mad at myself that I try not to look back, but I'm so mad at myself that God was trying to bring me into my calling, and I was literally just like, nope, I have something so much better. Wow. And you just don't get it. And yeah, that was probably where I saw the most growth. But it sucked, because that's why I brought it up, is because people saw that on social media, like God wanted to show everybody what he was doing through me, but he couldn't do anything through me because I wouldn't let go of this thing that he was like, dude, let go of that thing. Like, I'm trying to bring you somewhere so cool and so awesome, and I'm going to change everything about you from the inside out because I can see the things that you can't see. And I just was like, no, my plan is so much better. Like, you don't get it. I'm saved, and that's all that matters to me. Like, no, your calling is everything to not just God, but to your happiness. God wants to take you somewhere that is going to be the answer to everything that you are searching for and this thing that you're ignoring God about. So I don't know who
that
was for.
So good. Yeah, that's so powerful. Some of you ladies, we're live. Some of you ladies in the chat, I hate to be the guy to tell you, but you might need to break up with the guy that the devil sent into your life. You might need to. I mean, the first thing God told me to do, I was with a girl for 4 years. I planned to marry this girl. I was with her all through high school. And the first thing God says is like, you're going to leave your career in law enforcement that you're doing and you're going to break up with this girl. And I'm like, okay, no questions asked. Like, she's not my wife. This is going to ruin my destiny. And some of you, I'm saying that because you know the Lord has told you, this guy is not for you. This guy has brought you down the wrong path. If a guy, man, we could do a whole stream on this. If a guy brings you back to where God brought you out of, he is not the guy for you. You do not want somebody bringing you back to Egypt. You want someone like Moses bringing you out of Egypt. You want somebody that's going to bring you out of your compromise, challenge you to walk with God. He's going to pray with you, pray for you, and lead you. Not a guy that you have to lead. If you have to lead him to church, if you have to lead him to prayer, if you're the one always begging him to do anything spiritual or to talk about God or do anything, he might not be the right guy. And I know you're like, well, once we get married, guys, ladies, I hate to say it. It's going to get worse once you get married. He's going to get lazier once you get married. Once he gets it, he's going to be like, all right, well, now I could just show you the loser that I've been, but you didn't know about. So I'm just saying, some of you ladies, God is speaking to you tonight. He's already spoke to you before, but he's confirming through Taylor's story that that guy might hinder your destiny. That guy might hinder your calling. And for her, I think she said a whole year she lost. A whole year she lost of being able to reach people and preach to people and serve the Lord. Oh yeah, now my wife's in the chat. My wife's like, preach, honey. You gotta leave that guy. You gotta leave that guy. But she was hindered for an entire year. And some of you right now are hindered because you're dating a loser. And I hate to say it the way it is, but it's just the truth. It's just the truth. You need to find a man of God. You need to ask the Lord, God, I need you to bring a man of God in my life. Because really, who you date, who you marry could actually destroy your calling. Like, if I did not marry my wife, who's in the chat, and I'm not just saying this because she's in the chat, but I would not be doing what I'm doing. I would not be in the assignment God has given me if it wasn't for my wife. And I had to marry the right person. People are like, well, why'd you marry? Well, I got to marry somebody that, hey, knows how to do deliverance. I got to marry somebody that knows how to pray. I got to marry somebody that wants to live holy. I got to marry somebody that's going to challenge me, that's going to rebuke me, that's going to convict me. You guys can't be marrying people that are talking you into compromise and marrying people and dating people. And if you're not planning to marry him, you shouldn't be dating him. Why are you dating him? Yeah, tell him, there's the door. Praise the Lord. I'll see you at church on Sunday. You just should not be dating anybody that you don't plan to marry in the kingdom. And so I'm glad you shared that. Like, for a whole year, you were hindered by that relationship. And we'll share another time because we're already, you know, way over an hour. But that brought into her life, she has the testimony in her channel, anxiety, paranoia, and all these types of things. And that's what happens when you bring ungodly spirits into your life. You invite those spirits, you invite those things into your life, and you have to deal with it. Okay, let me ask you one last thing, and then we will pray for the chat. And like I said, we are already an hour and 10 minutes in, and I've asked you four of the 20 questions I've written down. Yeah, so I want to ask you one more thing, though, because I know you were in that relationship. You came out. What was it that you got saved in your Jeep? So it wasn't like a pastor telling you do this, do that. Just what was it? Was it the Holy Spirit leading you? Because like for the last few years, you definitely have gone in your spiritual walk just to the next level, right? To the next level. And you guys go look at her channel. It's awesome what she's doing, teaching about fasting and prayer and eternity and all these things she's doing on her channel. What would you attribute it to? Was it finding a local church? Was it listening to, you know, good godly preachers and pastors? Was it getting around the right people? What was it that took you in the last, let's say, 2 years in this journey where you just went from being saved, going through that bad relationship, then coming out of it to now, like I would say the last year or two, at least from what I've seen on your social media, to just really going hard after God and fully actually ministering to people? Because like, whether you believe this or not, Taylor, you are a minister. You are ministering to people. You are preaching to people. You're reaching people on your page. You're teaching the Bible. You're having Bible studies and you're ministering to people. How did you go from just getting saved to actually ministering to people now?
Being alone with God, the quiet place has been, God got me to a point where I needed to be isolated, that I was all alone, and I was mad at him for it, because I was like, I had to face a lot of things by myself that I, and he removed so many people from my life all at once, and removed so many things that I was just by myself, and he wanted it that way, and it needed to be that way, because it was the only thing that was going to make me pause and slow down and actually shut up and sit and just be quiet with Jesus. And I just started getting in my closet every day by myself, and I would just sit there, and sometimes it'd be 2 minutes, and then it would move up to 5 minutes, and now I'm at like 30 minutes to an hour. I don't even think about the time that I'm just sitting with Jesus. And I just ask him, like, sometimes I don't even say anything, and I just feel him just, I tell him, please work on my heart. Please, just when I come in here, just change me, bring me down the path that you are looking to bring me down. And, you know, even through the fires, I mean, so many, how I got to where I'm at right now, and the evident change that is in me is literally fire. It was fire after fire, storm after storm, that I kicked and screamed through like a little baby. And I'm like, God, where are you? God, where are you? And I just would sit in the quiet place crying over things that I cannot believe I was afraid of, and things that I can't believe that I even cried over. But that's what God does, is when you sit in the quiet place and you actually are dedicating time with the Lord, when you are, before you do anything else in the day, I will not start a day off without spending time with Jesus. I get up, if I have to get up at 4:30 in the morning, I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning. If I have to get up at 5:30, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make time to spend with Jesus, because he is who directs my day. So I've been getting up at 5 a.m., I mean, on and off. Obviously, it doesn't always look pretty, but for the last 3 years, and I sit in the Word. Especially when I don't feel like it. Especially when I don't feel like it. Especially when I don't want to sit in my prayer closet and I don't want to just sit there. I got so many things to do. I got so many things I want to do. And I just let the Lord work on me. And he's just brought me through fire after fire, because he's able to open you up and see exactly what needs to be worked on. So I, this past year, I haven't been kicking and screaming through storms for the first time ever. Things that I thought used to like petrify me, that I'm like, I'm always going to have this anxiety. I'm always going to have this paranoia. Like, the world did so much damage on me that I just felt, I felt hopeless in a way. Like, I always believed that Jesus can heal me and cure me from so many different things. But at the same time, you start to get to a place of hopelessness, because you're like, I've just been dealing with this for so long, and you feel like it's only getting worse. But when it's, I'll tell you right now, when it's getting worse, it's because the Lord is working. And this past year, I have just been experiencing the freedom from that, of going through all those storms. I've been able to like look back and I'm like, that's what you were doing in those storms that didn't make any sense, because now I can walk in joy and I can walk in peace in so many areas I couldn't before. And he's still doing that, but I welcome storms now, and I look at them so differently. I wouldn't say I welcome them, but I look at them so differently, because I know the Lord is at work every single time, and so he doesn't leave. The only way I'm able to know that is the quiet place.
I have to say something, okay, guys, and I'm not just tooting your horn or anything like that. 179 episodes. I've asked a lot of people on the show, how did God? No one has ever said getting in the secret place, getting alone with God. And here she is now, guys. And I just said, I've seen in the last year or two the transformation in her life. I know something's going on in her life. And she just said, it's getting up in the morning. I feel convicted right now. My wife, I hope my wife turned this off, because I don't want her hearing this, but getting up early in the morning. And instead of going and playing pickleball at 7 a.m. like I've been doing, getting in the secret place alone with God, guys, that is where true life is found. That is the key. And if you go back and just look through her channel, you'll see the progress of what God has done in her life. It's all there, but there's the key, getting in the secret place. This is where Jesus said, there's only one place in all of the Bible where Jesus tells us God the Father's location on the earth. And he says, if you want to know the Father, if you want to get to know God, go in the secret place. God is in the secret place. That's a guaranteed way. That's a guaranteed way. My wife said, I'm listening. Oh no. That's a guaranteed way that you can get alone with God, is getting in the secret place, and he'll meet you there. It doesn't even say in the church, in the temple, at a revival meeting, getting alone in the secret place. And sadly, and I appreciate all of you that come to our events and all that. That's great. I love you guys. I'll see you this weekend in Washington. Praise the Lord. But guys, do you know what's more powerful than going to any of our events? Do you know what's more powerful than even going to church on Sunday? You know what's more powerful than going to hear your favorite preacher or getting an autograph, whatever? Getting alone with God. And you don't have to get on an airplane, praise the Lord. You don't have to buy a ticket, praise the Lord. You don't have to wait in line to get a picture, praise the Lord. You can get in the secret place. And I love that answer. It's not the answer I thought you were going to give, and it's the best answer you can give, because that's where the transformation happens. But there's no room for laziness in the secret place. You got to break out of that laziness, break out of that complacency. I think you posted a video about like getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and you're in the secret place. You're worshiping God. You're reading the Bible. This is something we all can learn, guys. You might be a Christian for 30 years, and here Taylor is. She's been serving the Lord, you know what, 3, 4, 5 years, and you can learn that. You might not have a secret place. You might not have a place where you can get alone with God. And it's crazy, Taylor, if you look at our houses, how big our living rooms are, how big our laundry rooms are, how big our patios are, how big our bedrooms are, how big all the stuff in our house is. Like, we have an entire room dedicated to sitting down and watching an electronic screen. Like, you just sit there and you just stare like a robot at the screen. You have a whole room. You have a room called a dining room that's just made to eat. You have a living room that's just made to sit on a couch. But why don't we have prayer closets? Why don't we have a place where we could get away alone with God? Hey, I'm preaching to somebody. Some of you, you need to turn the TV around, get on the mount, take it off the mount, turn it around, put it against the wall, and say, I'm going to make my house an altar. I'm going to get in a secret place, and I'm going to serve the Lord. We're going to pray for you guys right now. I believe the Lord wants to do something new in you. I had like, I don't know, 20 questions for her. I think I asked her 4, and we're 1 hour and 15 minutes in. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit's moving. But I do want to pray for some of you that are in the chat right now that are currently in that world of OnlyFans, in that world of selling pictures of your body. I hope tonight's been a wake-up call and an alarm going off. And I want to say too, listen, guys, you just heard Taylor went from selling her body online, being social media famous, to now she's has a Christian channel where she's preaching the word. And you know what's crazy? Up until what has it been, a few months, Taylor, where now God has been blessing this. Now she's getting hundreds of thousands of views, and the Lord is now using her to reach millions of people for his glory. And it took a lot more work and a lot more time than it was when the devil gave it to her. But I'm telling you, God says the slow grow is the right way to go. And so I'm super excited for her, this new journey she's on of preaching and sharing and just God growing her channel. But there are some of you out there, you think right now, I can't quit OnlyFans because I won't have the money. I can't quit OnlyFans because I'll lose this. I'll tell you this, it's better to lose the Ferrari and have your soul. It's better to lose the mansion and have your soul. It's better to lose everything else, all the friends, the boyfriend, the parties in Hollywood, who cares? All that, you've already been there. It's all lame. It's the same superheated. It's better to lose all of that and have Jesus. And I promise you, the Lord will provide. The birds don't worry about what they have to eat, and God provides for them. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or begging for bread. Just the same way Taylor's a testimony where now the Lord's providing for her on her YouTube channel and her teachings. God can do that for you. Get away from the OnlyFans. Delete it tonight. Just delete it tonight. Delete all the pictures. Delete all the videos. End your account. Close your account. Write, I think what you have to email. I think Nayla said she had to email OnlyFans. Email OnlyFans tonight. Say, hey, I'm now serving God. I'm deleting it. The Patreon, the OnlyFans, all of these things. So that's one. We're praying for that. And then two, the guys in the chat and the girls in the chat that are subscribing to these platforms, that are viewing, like, I'm not a subscriber, but you're watching it free still on the internet. You're still watching it. You're still out there watching porn. It doesn't matter if you're paying for it or not. It's wrong. It's pornography. It's lust. It's perversion. It's demonic. It's wrong. And the Lord wants to deliver you. The Lord wants to set you free from that lust and that perversion. So Father, we just pray right now, God, that you would do what only you can do. Father, I pray that Taylor's testimony would bring people out of bondage. I pray, God, Taylor's testimony for some of these young men and young ladies that are on these platforms. Lord, we are asking you, in the same way you encountered Taylor in her Jeep, Lord, would you encounter them right now in their living rooms? Would you encounter them right now? You might be at a party listening to this on an AirPod in the corner somewhere. And I pray that the Lord would encounter you by his Holy Spirit. I pray that God would do something in your heart, that he would speak to you, that you would right now repent of your sin, turn from your wicked ways, acknowledge that Jesus really came, really died, but he didn't stop there. He rose on the third day and gives us newness of life. And you know what? Some of you right now are saying, I know because the Holy Spirit's telling me, and you're saying, I'm ashamed. I hate the person I am. That's amazing, because you know what the Bible says? You get to become a new person. I hated the person I was. I was angry. I was bitter. I was racist. I was addicted. I was lusting. I was a cheater. I was everything bad. And you know what the Lord said January 12th of 2011? Isaiah, I'm not going to change you. I'm going to kill you. You're going to be a new person. You're going to be a new person, and you're going to be alive in Christ. So guess what? You get to become a new person right now. And the new you won't have shame, won't have guilt, won't have condemnation, won't be addicted. God wants you right now to be born again by His Spirit. All you need to do is call upon the name of the Lord. All you need to do is say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. In your own words, say, Jesus, I turn from my sin. I don't want this in my life anymore. I want to serve you. I want to know you. The same God that met Taylor in a Jeep, I want to know that God. The same God that met Isaiah at an altar in Modesto, California, I want to know that God. I want to serve that God. You can right now, wherever you are, call upon the name of the Lord. And the Bible says, those that call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. God will save you right now. And I also want to pray for those of you that are addicted, that are struggling. I just pray, Lord, right now that you would break the chains of lust, that God, you would break the chains of pornography, that God, you would break the chains of sexual addiction. Lord, you said that if we even lust after a woman, we've already committed adultery. God, I pray right now for all of those in the chat that are struggling. Lord, I sympathize. I have compassion for them. We're not mad at them, God. We're not angry at them. Lord, we want them to be free. Guys, I want you to come out of your chains. I'm tired of seeing my young brothers and sisters in Christ in bondage. I'm tired of seeing my brothers hiding from Jezebel in caves. God says, come out of the cave, confront Jezebel, confront Jezebel. No more, no more Delilah in my life. No more Jezebel in my life. We come against that spirit of lust. We command that spirit of lust. Get your hands off these people right now in Jesus' name. Leave these people right now. Spirit of lust, you have no power over us. You must go now in Jesus' name. We break your power. I plead the blood of Jesus against any demonic spirit, any demonic power, any demonic force that is in their life, any generational curse that's in your life of lust, something your dad didn't fight, something your mom didn't fight. We break that curse. There's blood. The blood of Jesus breaks the curse. So we come against every generational curse. We come against every demonic spirit. And I pray, Lord, right now that you'd give them strength. Some of you, I hear the Holy Spirit saying this. Some of you don't need deliverance. You need discipline. Really, you don't. You've already gotten deliverance. You've already gotten freedom. And the Lord says, you need a discipline. You need to delete the apps right now. You need to delete the social media. Whatever is causing you to sin, because it might be different than what causes me to sin. I don't know what's causing you to sin. Maybe you're tempted in other ways that I don't even know about. But the Lord says, you know, no temptation is common under man, but God will give you a way out. In every temptation, there's a way out. So I want you right now, let the Lord search your heart. Let the Lord convict you. Let the Lord challenge you. Father, I pray right now that you would show all of us, even me, areas in our life that don't match up with your word, and that God, we would get rid of these things. God, we don't want anything in the way of our calling. And then lastly, I pray, Lord, that we would get in the secret place. I pray. And you know, my favorite part of this whole show tonight was when Taylor said, that's the key. That's what it was that made me the way I am. I pray, Lord, every one of us would have a secret place with you. Every one of us would get alone with you. Jesus said, shut the door, get alone with God. Lord, I pray, help us right now to get rid of these distractions. Like, we all have TikTok brain. We all have ADHD, BABC. We all are dealing with, it's all of us, y'all. We need to get rid of it, unplug from this social media world that we're all plugged into, take the cables out of our brain and say, I need to plug into God. I need to get connected to the Holy Spirit. I can't handle these social media platforms right now. Maybe later you can, but right now we just need to unplug. So Father, I pray for every person right now watching that they would get into the secret place, that they would know you, that they would serve you, and that you would light them on fire. I hear the Holy Spirit saying this, there's fire in the secret place. I hear the Holy Spirit saying there's fire, there's anointing, there's power in the secret place. If you want to get lit on fire for the Lord, if you're like, I want to be on fire for God, thank you for coming to my meetings, but don't come to my meetings. Go to the secret place. Get alone with God. Get in the place of prayer. Father, we bless every person watching. We pray your calling on their life. We say yes and amen. We bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Taylor, you did an amazing job. Her first time on a podcast sharing her story. We went an hour and almost a half. You did incredible. I know God's going to use this. I know over Spotify and all the places we're going to put this podcast, The Lord's going to use it. Is there any closing thoughts or anywhere that they can go find you? Maybe they're watching and they're like, hey, I want to plug into what she's doing. I want to be a part. I want to see the videos. Where can they find your stuff at?
The Bible Chick. Very easy.
Say it one more time. It cut out right when you said the first thing.
It's The Bible Chick.
The Bible Chick.
So I used to have another YouTube. It's under Taylor Alicia, but I ended up leaving that. And you know what? I just want to thank you, Isaiah, because you, when I was like really nervous to create a new channel, and I knew the Lord was telling me to leave because he used three different people to tell me to leave that channel. And I had over 2 million followers on it. And I went and made a new one and you messaged me that night. And I was really doubting it. Like, I was like, I don't even know if I'm going to post on here. And you messaged me encouragement. And I just want to say how important that was at that point in my life, because I then pursued that channel because of a brother's encouragement. Ever since then, I have just went so out of my way to message brothers and sisters in Christ to encourage them. And because I've gotten to see what it's done in my walk with Jesus. So yeah, I just wanted to say
awesome.
Thank you.
I'm praying, guys, for all of you. I'm praying that there would be 1,000 more Taylors. I'm praying there'd be 1,000 more Isaiahs. I'm praying that so many of you would rise up. We need it. Like, there's a million content creators that are doing terrible stuff, that are making content for the enemy. And so I'm in anyone's corner that's doing content creation. Any of you Christian people that are doing content, YouTube, I'm clapping for you. I'm cheering. I'm not a hater. I love it when God raises up content creators, because hey, the devil's raising up content creators. The devil's raising up evangelists. The devil's raising up people online. And so we need to be in each other's corner. We don't need to be attacking each other online, on social media. Everybody needs to give everyone else room to grow. We're all different parts of the body, and we need to support people like Taylor that are doing this for God. And so I'm going to be supporting. I'm going to be sowing into her tonight. And so Taylor, thank you for being on. At some point, we should do a part two. Now that you're like, hey, I'm comfortable now. We'll do a part two on all this other stuff. And maybe we can yell at people for another hour, telling them to break up with their loser boyfriend, a loser girlfriend, and to serve the Lord. But hey, thanks so much, Taylor, for being on tonight.
Thank you for having me on.
Awesome. God bless.
Cool. You too.
All right, guys, what an amazing show tonight, as always. Hey, that was her first podcast she's ever done, sharing her testimony. I think she did a great job. I'm appreciative of all of you that are here. God is doing something, guys. God is moving in this generation. Revival is happening. These testimonies are amazing. I want more people on here sharing their testimonies, sharing what God has done, whether it's their first time or their 100th time. We need testimonies. How many of you, type one, if you love to hear stories of God, stories of how God has changed people, stories of how God has delivered people? I love to hear it. Her channel's in the description. She has some great videos. Let's also not only subscribe, encourage her, because it feels lonely at times for these. And to be honest, I don't even remember sending her that encouragement about starting a channel, but I'm glad I did. Praise the Lord. I will send people stuff, comment, message people, and encourage them. Anyone that's a social media influencer, you know I'm in the comments. I'm encouraging. I'm welcoming. Some of you have live, you know, 5-10 people. I'm in there at times commenting, encouraging. You know, Jared and Candace, they're going to be live here in a few minutes right after us. And I'm encouraging them to keep doing it. We need to take over for God. Amen. We need to take over for God. So let's sow into her. I want to bless her so much tonight. I want to, you know, as I've said, she's left this lifestyle. God's taken her out of this lifestyle. Now she's serving the Lord. Now she's seeking God. Obviously, when people are leaving these lifestyles financially, they're taking a massive cut. Let's bless her. Let's bless her. We're on her team. We're cheering her on. We're in her corner. We're not wanting any of these Christian social media preachers to fail. We want them to succeed. We want to encourage them. We can't just yell about how bad the world is. We need to put our money where our mouth is. We need to encourage these influencers to influence for God.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.